produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
To a Better Broken radio broadcast. I am your host, Angie West, and I will be sharing how you can move past the brokenness in your life and how you too can become a better broken. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Your brokenness is a big deal to God. I saw a meme on my personal Facebook page today that reminded me of our topic from last week. Being that we just spent Thanksgiving with our families, I thought that it was a perfect fit for today's program. It said, God told Adam and Eve they could eat from all of the trees in the garden except one. So what did Satan do? He got them to focus on the one thing they couldn't. God wants us to be thankful for all that we have and not distracted by all that we don't. Last week, I spoke of choices that Adam and Eve made. I spoke about how the choice that Adam and Eve were given is a picture that led us to our choice of where we choose to spend eternal life. Their one decision to sin by eating of the fruit helped to lead Jesus to the cross that moment that they took the very first bite. But it didn't stop there. As a child of God, you have the opportunity to be forgiven, and your sins are forgotten the very moment that you even think the words, "Lord, forgive me." Isn't that alone something to continually be thankful of? I am so thankful that the Lord forgives and gives me a fresh and new start every day. The Lord knows that I need it. Today, our topic will be broken curiosity leads to a broken choice. Growing up as a preteen, there were three lifelong dreams that I personally had. One was to become a teacher. And when I was little, I can remember teaching and correcting my stuffed animals. I would line them up in a row, and I would pass them papers to be worked on and such. And I would pick them back up and grade them. And I can remember teaching and the stuffed animals and even my dolls. And I can remember even gathering with some friends, and we would go outside, and I would say, hey, let's pretend that we're playing school. And they would sit near assigned spots, and I would be the teacher, and I would kind of boss them around a little bit. Maybe that's why I didn't have a lot of girlfriends when I was growing up. But I remember doing these things and just dreaming that I would be in front of a classroom one day teaching. I had several teachers that I looked up to that were sort of my heroes as I was growing up, and I can remember two or three in particular that were just lights to me and were great examples to my life, and I'm so thankful for all of the teachers that taught me. And that was a dream that, as you all have already heard, the Lord allowed to come true in my life. I taught in three different Christian schools throughout 10 years of my life of teaching, and I so enjoyed and loved that time of my life. And so I can remember dreaming about that dream, and little did I realize that it would one day become true, and it did. Not only did I teach others in schools, but I also taught and raised my own two children who are teenagers today. One is 16 and one is 18, and so they're still growing and learning in the Lord. And I'm so thankful for the opportunity that the Lord has given for me to be a teacher to them as well. And now I'm working with a new company called VIP Kid. And what I do is I teach online English to children from China. And so that's a new adventure for me, and I'm really enjoying that. But I can remember all of the times that I would play that I was a teacher. And that was an exciting, fun time in my life. And then another dream that I had was more of a silly dream. I remember when I was 13, I always have loved to sing. And so I dreamed that I was a pop rock singer. And I can remember getting on my bike alone or roller skating in the neighborhood and walking around or riding around with my Walkman and headphones on and just singing my little heart out just wherever I could. And I loved going into my room and closing my door and turning up my music as loud as I could. And I would sing my little heart out. And I've always loved to sing and had a passion for it even as I was a child. But God has given me many opportunities not to sing as a pop singer, obviously, but to sing in church and to sing in different programs and such in schools that I was involved with. And I still love to sing for the Lord. And then another dream that I had, the third dream that I had, which was the dream that I probably dreamed of the most, was to become, one day, become a wife and to have my own family, my own children. And I can remember playing, most of you girls probably have had Barbie dolls that you've played with, and you had the little families and such. And I can remember playing with my Barbie dolls and believing that the one who looked like me, who favored me the most, was me. And I would fall in love and get married, and we would get married and have a family, have children and such. And I thought it was so neat when the Barbie brand finally came out with the little children and such. And So we would, as a family, have meals in our home together and have time as a family together. And then we would go and fellowship with other friends and who had children and their children, you know how we may believe these things. And we would live happily ever after. And, needless to say, that dream in particular has come true in my life. But at the time that I was younger, these were things that I thought of quite a bit and dreamed of, as all of you had dreams and probably still have dreams. But something happened. The next thing I know, I woke up and I was no longer interested in Barbie dolls and baby dolls. I was no longer interested in playing with my stuffed animals. I still love stuffed animals, but they were now more so as decorations. I still loved riding my bike and skating because that was really my time alone, basically. I was the oldest of three other children. And so I didn't have a whole lot of time alone, but that was my time alone. So then it happened. I realized that I had become a teenager. And as a teenager and as a young child and even as a young adult, I was raised in a very sheltered, loving Christian environment. Our home was a home of godliness. And my parents brought us up in church, and we were at church every time the doors were open. And I love and appreciate my parents. But at that stage of my life, as a young teenager, I always thought that my parents were out to get me. Unless it was a church activity, I couldn't really go anywhere or do anything. I could have friends over to my house or whatever, but little did I know and realize that my parents were not trying to hurt me or they were only trying to protect me in those times in my life. And I guess that I never realized this until I had my own children. And I can still hear my mom saying to us back when we were younger, "You'll understand it all better when you have your own kids." And I used to always hate it when that phrase was thrown at me. But now I understand exactly what my precious mother was saying. You see, being cool and being liked by everyone else my age was my only and main concern at that phase of my life. I was a teenager, and I began not to care about how my choices would one day affect me spiritually and emotionally. And so I struggled, just like any other teenager does. I struggled with saying no. It's a struggle that we all have to deal with, and I still have to deal with it today, just like you do. I've learned the true meaning to James 4:17, which says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I knew better than to participate in the things that I had participated in, or the sin that I had participated in. Most of the time, I did not have the willpower to say no. And this led to so many doors open to temptation, pain, and heartache. Sin may look good or feel good for a season, but the satisfaction is never fulfilling for a long time. That sin leads to destruction if you allow for it to. By the way, this doesn't just apply to teenagers. Sin doesn't just appear in a young person's life. We are all prone to sin and make bad choices. I may, in my mind, feel like a teenager at times, but as this body can feel, I am very much of an adult now. And Satan wants us to crave sin and lust. May I remind you that because of Adam and Eve's choice to sin, we too were prone to sin. We were born sinners, and so we are prone to sin. Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. It's our choice whether or not to sin, and it's our choice to continue in sin if we choose to do so. You can choose to yield to the sin of the world, or you can ask the Lord to help you to resist the sin. You might think that your sin may not matter right now, but one day it will matter. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you are in this place right now. Maybe you do not understand the feelings and emotions that you're having. Even as adults, we have feelings and emotions that we do not understand. The Lord knows our every thought, and His desire is for us to keep our thoughts and our hearts pure. Philippians 4, 7 through 8 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." What we put into our minds will usually come out by the way we talk and act. Learn how to replace things on your mind that can harm you with things that can help you. Things such as praying, reading God's Word, simply asking the Lord to help you stay focused on what is right and what is pure. The world is filled with so much wickedness, and it's almost everywhere we turn, we see or hear something that's wicked and that's sinful and hurtful. And if we're not careful, we can, even as Christians, we can open our minds up to sin that we never thought that we would. So anything that you can do or get a hold of that can be a spiritual help with you, for you, I would encourage you to do. Another thing that I personally enjoy doing, and another reason why I've chosen to write the book series that I'm working on, is reading Christian material. I love to read a good Christian book or devotional book that can help me in things that I might personally need help in. These books and things that you can pick up and read are also help to you, because they help show us that when we go through battles in our lives, we're not alone in our battles. We all struggle with something, as I've stated before, and we all need help in those areas in our lives. And so knowing that there are other Christians that have been through some things that we've been through is a blessing to us, and it helps us to realize that, yes, we may have fallen, yes, we may have made a mistake, but that doesn't mean that we can't pick up and move and the Lord can't use us again just because we make a mistake. You think of all of the people in the Bible that committed great sins. We think of, and we'll talk more of some of these people later, but David and how the sin that he had committed in adultery, and then not only that sin, but of having the lady's husband killed in battle. And which basically he committed murder. So it one sin, like I spoke of last time we spoke, one sin led to another. And so even with the sins that David committed, God still loved him. And he was even called a man after God's heart. after the sins were committed, and he turned his life back around and gave his life to the Lord and served the Lord from there. So it doesn't mean that just because you've made a mistake that you can never be used by him. There are so many testimonies out there of people that have committed some of the worst crimes or worst sin of that you would ever think of, and they are being used by God to some capacity because they've chosen to make that right with the Lord and to use those things as examples to others, to help others. So many, maybe someone is in prison right now, but they've turned their life around and they've given their life to Christ. That person can reach more people than you and I could ever reach in the prisons because of their testimony. God, yes, they sinned and they messed their lives up and they are there, but their testimony, if they choose to allow God, for God to use their testimony, can lead others to Christ by them sharing what they've gone through and how they've turned their life around for Christ. God can work through them in ways that we could never do. And so don't ever feel like you have done too much to not be able to be used by God. God can use you and your testimony for His honor and His glory. And talking back about sin again, something that I've also learned is that one sin does lead to another. Usually, each temptation becomes bigger and stronger. When you go into one sin, there's usually something behind it that's bigger and stronger. And if you allow for Satan to use that, then things can grow out of hand really quickly. And it's my prayer that you will see and know that you're not alone in the battles that you have faced or that you're even facing right now. I know that my personal testimony and story is not the worst one in the world, but it is my prayer that it is a help and a blessing to someone who is in great need. Someone, maybe there's someone out there who is struggling and looking for help. I pray that my testimony is a blessing and a help to those that might need that encouragement. Please know that God is with us in our times of brokenness. He walks us through each phase of the journey that we call life. All we have to do is let ourselves fade in Him and allow for Him to shake you in a miraculous way and change you. God can change anyone. All we have to do is ask for forgiveness, and He will pick up the broken pieces of our hearts and He will put them all together again. All we've got to do is give Him those pieces of our broken heart, and He is there to pick us right up and to mold us and put us back together and make us into what He wants us to be. And He'll use us for His honor and His glory. I'm a testimony of that for myself. I'm so thankful that the Lord has taken my testimony, and still, even though I'm not perfect, God has used my testimony in more than one way to be a blessing to others. And so I just wanted to be an encouragement again for those of you that are struggling even right now. Remember that we all have some kind of brokenness in our lives. Maybe you're going through a time of brokenness and discouragement in your life right now. No matter what you're going through, God is still on the throne. He is still there for you. He loves you. And through your brokenness, no matter what it may be, you can be used by Him. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. Give it to Jesus. Ask Jesus to forgive you. When it seems like you're all alone, remember that you're not. Pick up your Bible, read, and pray, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you and to guide you. I have to do this quite often myself. It's my desire to share what the Lord places on my heart, and I pray that I'm a blessing to you even now as we speak. you need to know that you're not alone. And you need to realize that your burdens may be heavy. You may not know which way to turn. You may not know who to go to talk to. It's so hard to trust everybody. But you need to find someone that you can talk to, that you can pour your burdens out to, and someone who can spiritually guide you and lead you and help you in those times of need. I'm so thankful for the ones that the Lord has given to me to help me in my times of need. And it's my prayer that you have someone that you can talk to, whether it be a counselor, a close friend, maybe your husband or your wife or a parent, just someone that you can trust and that you can go to that can help you and help guide you in the right direction. And just remember that if it seems like no one is there, you can always turn to the Lord in prayer. Some of my worst, strongest, and hardest battles, I have gone to no one but the Lord with, because I know that He understands the feelings that I'm feeling. He is there for me, and He can give me peace through His Word and also through the preaching and teaching of His Word. I know that He can give me peace and direction for my life if I trust in Him. That's not always easy to do. It's not always easy to trust in the Lord. Sometimes there are things that happen in our life and we sit back and we say, whoa, where did that come from? But a lot of times it's allowed by God to for Satan to tempt us or to try to discourage us. We think of Job, and we'll talk about Job in the future and the things that he lost in his life. But Job did not turn his back on God. And so many times when we go, and I'm guilty of it as well as anybody else would be, but so many times when we go through hard times in our lives, we are tempted to turn our backs on God, and we get angry and bitter and have all of those emotions that we have to deal with. But that is not God's intention for us and the reason for us to go through bad times in our life. He wants us to learn from the trials or the things that we go through, whether it's self-inflicted or not. He wants us to learn from our valleys. He wants us to learn from our burdens. He wants us to learn from our sin. He wants us to learn from our bad choices. God wants us to learn from everything that happens in our lives, and we have to remember that. Everything happens for a reason, and God wants us to learn from whatever it is that we are going through. So I wanted to leave that thought with you today about how we can be used by Him no matter what we've done. God loves us unconditionally, and He is so forgiving if we ask for Him to be a forgiving God. So as I close this program for today, I wanted to again say a special thank you to two of the most encouraging ladies that I know, Kayla Padgett and Tammy Polk, and to the Lifted Authors Radio Network for allowing me and A Better Broken to be a part of the program. I also wanted to say thank you to my husband for his love and support, to my family, my children, and all of my precious friends that God has blessed me with. Thank you all for your continuous love and support. I also wanted to say a very special thank you to all of you who are listening. Again, this has been A Better Broken radio broadcast, and my name is Angie West. Join me every first and third Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time and 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on this radio program. Or you can listen on my Facebook page, A Better Broken radio broadcast. If you are interested in my handmade resin jewelry, you can also find me on my Facebook and my Instagram business pages under the title A Better Broken Books and Jewelry Collection. If you are interested in my books, you can also find them on Amazon.com under author Angie West. Again, I look forward to hearing from you and talking to you soon. Have a wonderful day.
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Used to do whatever I could just to make you love me. I would even give my life. Hello, everyone, and happy Tuesday. Welcome to Speak Up Sis Talk Radio. And I am your host, Angel Charmaine. And today we have got an amazing guest here to talk with us today. Her name is Rakita Taylor, and she is the founder, owner of Sisters Healing Sisters Incorporated. So before I let you all meet Rakita, I want to say thank you to our CEO, Tammy Polk, the CEO of Lifted Authors Radio Network, as well as Kayla Paget, the CEO of Finding Your Way Radio Network. Thank you for the opportunity to speak life into women every single first and third Tuesday of the month. All right, Rakita, let's go ahead and let's get into this conversation. Talk to our listening audience about who is Rakita Taylor.
Hello, everybody. My name is Rakita Taylor, and I am a 34-year-old woman, single mom of two boys, based here in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And as you said, I am the president and founder of Sisters Healing Sisters Incorporated, a nonprofit organization, as well as a real estate agent.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that part. I'm learning something new already.
That's you.
That's what's up. Okay, great. So before we jump into this conversation, because today we're going to be talking about finding your tribe. Listen, yes. As women, this is a sticky conversation. So we're going to talk about finding our tribe and what that looks like and why it's necessary, even if it's necessary. Today. But before we do that, I do want you to just share a little bit about Sisters Healing Sisters, because that's how I connected with you through social media. I said, my goodness, her platform, it is angel. Like, it's what I do. And so that I was drawn to you and your tribe based on the work that you do with Sisters Healing Sisters. So just share a little bit about what exactly you do with a particular organization.
Okay. I formed Sisters Healing Sisters to empower, educate, and elevate women from all walks of life through different resources, workshops, and outreach. The main basis of Sisters Healing Sisters is creating a sense of sisterhood in our community, because I feel like that's an issue or area that's lacking out here. And so when I created it, you know, I was just thinking about the times where I was just going through different things in life and I felt like I had no one. Because at that point I did have no one. So I was like, I want to create something that can help women, and you know, we can come together and not only help me, but I can help other women and we can help each other and create a sisterhood. And hence our slogan, when sisters touch and agree, I heal you and you heal me. So it's creating a sisterhood, and like you said, like a tribe. So yes, because I think that's important.
I'm glad you said sisterhood. Sometimes when I use the word tribe, people get their panties in a bunch. They're like, what you mean by tribe? And, you know, but a tribe is simply, right, a sisterhood. It's a community, right? It's people who get you.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I believe oftentimes we think that no one gets us. No one understands us. Nobody knows what we're dealing with, when in fact we're all somehow divinely connected, right? We're kind of woven together in this unique, peculiar way. And people do get us, but right. We have to put ourselves out there to be seen, to be heard, and be open to connecting with other people, right?
Absolutely. And that's a point that I also want to mention, because before I started this, I'm very shy. I'm very standoffish in all of that. So just doing, stepping out and doing that and creating a sisterhood and creating a tribe, that was completely out of my comfort zone.
Do you believe you created the organization out of your own need?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because like I said, when I created it, I created it when I was at the lowest point basically in my life and I felt alone. So when I created, when I thought of the idea to create it, I was like, I want to create something where nobody has to feel like how I'm feeling. You know, there are people out here who care about you. There, women can get along, you know,
right.
And we can come together and we can help each other. We don't have to go through these things alone. Some of the trials and tribulations that I went through or that another woman went through, you know, we can use that to help each other, you know, and not tear each other down. That,
when you said we can get along.
Yes, absolutely.
We can get along. I think we need like billboards and we need some bullhorns. We need something to scream at women that, listen, it's okay to get along and it is possible for us to get along. When I thought about this particular conversation, it stemmed from one of the conversations in my book, Speak with Chic, One Woman, 10 Truths, which is a compilation of 10 conversational narratives where one woman is sharing her truth, but all women can see themselves because we all share these truths. And one of the conversations is entitled The Tribe. There was a young woman who was a mother of four, just like me. I have four sons. She had twins. I had twins. She was married. I was married at the time. And we met through our husbands, okay? But one day, I was in a really, really, really low place, a place where I could understand how women were throwing their kids over the bridge. When you get to that place where you can understand that, you're in a low place.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying, you know, and people ask, well, do you think you would have, you know, I like to believe that I would never do anything like that. But to get to a place where you can even understand it is low enough. So I'm having this conversation with this woman on the phone, and this is what I remember, that conversation with her is what I remember when I penned this. And I wrote, she could hear my pain and was willing to share her peace when I couldn't find peace for myself.
Yes, that's deep.
She shared her peace with me.
Mm. Absolutely.
That's what we do when we connect with people who are in our tribe, right? I was listening to this guy talk, and he said something that I thought was profound, and it's something that I'm going to explore in our next Speak Up Sis talk radio conversation. But it's the idea of how to connect with your tribe. I think sometimes many of us want to connect with our tribe. We want these communities. We want these sisterhoods, but we don't know how. And one thing this gentleman said was that you've got to be willing to be authentic because your tribe can't see you when you are not your authentic self.
That's true. That's true. Definitely. I agree with that.
It stopped me when I heard it. And when I think about women and why we don't connect and why we have so many issues connecting with people, and we've got this thing about fake friends, right? Fake people and dealing with fake people. And so it made me ask myself, are we having issues as women connecting with our tribe because we're not presenting our true selves? We're getting the tribe that connects with our representative.
Exactly, because a lot of women wear masks, you know, and due to whatever reason, you know, and they wear masks and, they might have a smile on their face. They might, you know, appear happy, but deep down behind that mask, it could be a whole nother issue. But if you're coming out and you're just happy, happy, happy all the time, then that's what people is going to expect. But really, you want a hug, you know?
Right.
Really, you want somebody to sit down and talk with you.
Exactly.
So that's why I definitely agree with you, you know, with what he is saying about being authentic, because if you're not authentic, how can I even get through to you, sis? If I don't even know you, because you have on that mask.
Right. I don't know who I'm talking to.
Exactly.
I'm trying to create community here, but with whom?
Exactly. Absolutely.
So when I heard that, that thing just really, really stopped me. I mean, it did. But you know, I want to tell me a little bit about your tribe. Do you have a tribe? Is your tribe certain types of women, or do you have different, you know, different age groups? That's another thing that I talk about within this particular conversation, is that my tribe is intergenerational. You know, it spans race, it spans age, it spans even temperaments.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Tell me about your tribe. Do you have some special people that you consider part of your tribe?
Absolutely, I definitely do. And I will say my tribe is very diverse. Mm-hmm. Very mm-hmm. diverse, you know. Some of my friends are younger, you know, and very energetic and all of that. Then I have some of my friends that are a little older and, you know, like to sleep on a Saturday night like me. And then I just, you know, have, you know, my friends that are very talkative like myself and, you know, out there. And then I have my friends that are kind of like introverted. So yes, definitely very diverse, but you know what? Each one of them brings something special to the table. So yes. And let me say this. I think that it's very important to have diverse friends. You don't want all of your friends to be the same, because how are you going to grow?
Mm.
If everybody has the same mindset as you, they look right. like you, they right. talk like you, how are you going to grow? You know, that's like robots walking around. And I don't want that.
Having your people, your tribe, your sisterhood, your community does not mean that they all will look alike. It doesn't mean they will all speak the same language. It doesn't mean that they will all, you know, do the same type of work, but they will all understand one another.
Right.
On a spiritual level. There's another piece of the conversation where I wrote, as I grow and my journey ebbs and flows, so does the tribe. Some have come and gone, and some came and refused to leave. That's another idea I'd like to explore, is this idea that your tribe has got to be close to you physically all the time.
Yeah.
Do you have members of your tribe who live in other places, or maybe you don't talk to every day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That, what you just said, that's important. I was actually going to talk about your tribe evolving and growing. Because, you know, as you grow, as you elevate, you're going to need, because once again, if you're growing, but the people around you aren't growing and they're staying the same, then that's going to, you know, that could pull you down. But yes, I definitely think that it's, you know, important to have a tribe that is diverse, and not only, you know, they don't have to be sitting in front of you every day. You know, they can evolve and grow, and you guys can still maintain that same sisterhood, that same tribe, that same relationship. So absolutely. I believe that your tribe can be anywhere else. They don't have to be in the same spot as you. No.
And they show up when they need to, don't they?
Absolutely.
It's amazing to me how some of my friends, I may not hear from them for months or maybe even a few years, but as soon as my soul needs what they bring to the table, they just kind of pop up.
Yeah.
Yes. Or I reach out to them because I know that she has what I need to heal in this area. Or there yes. are times when I just feel like I need to call so-and-so mm-hmm. because, you know, I just feel there's something that makes me feel like I need to have a conversation with her. And oftentimes, it, you know, it's they need me. They need what I bring to the table because it's reciprocal, right? It's not a one-way. It's not a one-way street. It's not. So I want to very quickly, because believe it or not, we're almost out of time. One thing about this show, I said 30 minutes is just not enough time to explore all of these topics. But I pray that as our audience listens, that they'll begin to shift their perspective a little bit. And you know, we give them a little bit of meat so they can mm-hmm. chew on it and spit out the bones. Chew up the meat and spit out the bones. Is what I like to say. But one yeah. thing that I really want to get into before I let you go for the day is this idea of healing mm-hmm. community. The mm-hmm. the core of my philosophy when it comes to Speak Up Sis is that conversations build resiliency. And I believe a lot of the brokenness that we're seeing, especially with women, is because we don't want to talk to each other. We don't want to share, you know, the words of our testimony. We don't, you know, mm-hmm. we don't do women. We don't like messy. We don't want mm-hmm. no drama. We don't want any of those things. And so we're not having the conversations we need to have. And in those conversations is where we heal, is where we learn how to be resilient, is where we, you know, we pick up some coping mechanisms and some skills that we need to be able to continue living and breathing and being and thriving in this world. But because we won't talk to each other,
we're
not healing.
Right. Hence the slogan, when sisters touch and agree, I heal you and you heal me. That means yeah. that I'm having a conversation with my sister. I'm pouring into her and she's pouring into me and we're going to heal together. But if we don't sit down and we don't touch and agree and we won't talk about it, how can either one of us heal from it? Or how can either one of us know that the other one is hurting if we don't right. talk about it?
Right.
Yeah.
And there's healing in yeah. just shooting the breeze.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every conversation doesn't have to be super deep. And we don't have to just meet when, you know, when our man done left, kids acting up, the people at the job done got on our nerves. We can touch and agree and heal even through times of laughter.
Mm-hmm.
When we're just, you know, we turn the music on and we just dancing and, you know, have our glass of wine and just having good old fashioned girl time. There's healing yes. even in that.
I absolutely agree with that. Girl time is much needed.
it's a part of what the tribe does, right?
Right. Right. Absolutely.
And it's possible to have different tribes. I know for a fact that I'm probably in several different tribes. Several different tribes of people, because there are different people who meet different needs and who kind of rock together at different spaces in life, right?
Right.
But they are the people that I need in that space in my life, and I'm the person they need, you know, in that space in their lives. And so as we come together and we share, you know, we share the truth of our testimony, we share the truth, we're our authentic selves. We show up for ourselves as well as the people that we say we love and that we, you know, share space with. It's in that place that we can truly begin to heal from some of the crazy stuff we're dealing with.
Absolutely, I agree.
We are going to wrap up this conversation. Here again, I'm telling you, this time is like, whew, 30 minutes goes just like that. But I want to give you an opportunity to, you know, share if you have anything specific on your heart that you want to share with our listening audience. I'm going to give you the floor to do that.
Okay, absolutely. There is one thing that I want to share with the listeners that I think is very important as we move into the new year. Forgive your sister. Doesn't mean that you have to deal with that person on the same accord that you were before, but I think it's very important that you forgive your sister, because that's going to take some weight off of you. And you don't want to carry that baggage into the new year. And sometimes some relationships can be salvaged. So talk to your sister, forgive your sister, and move forward.
And Rakita, don't that's back. A whole show by itself, sis. I was asking you to close us out, and you just like straight kicked the door right back open.
I'm sorry, that was on my heart, y'all. That's what I want to leave with. Forgive your sister. And then if you have Facebook, my name is Rakita Taylor on Facebook, and follow my nonprofit organization page, Sisters Healing Sisters Inc. We're on Facebook and also Instagram as well. And thank you so much for having me.
That is what's up. Listen, everybody, Rakita is a beautiful soul. I've not actually met her in person, but I've been paying attention to her social media presence, and she's doing some amazing things, and God is using her mightily to help sisters heal one another. And so I definitely wanted to have a conversation with her. I pray that you all have gotten a few nuggets from this conversation that will help you in your day-to-day walk, that will help you to revive your dreams and empower you to walk in your kingdom purpose, because that is what Speak Up Sis is all about. So I appreciate you for coming into this space, Rakita. You have been amazing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you're welcome.
You all can find all things Angel Charmaine and Speak Up Sis at www.speakupsis.com. Until next time, y'all take care and have a beautiful day. Bye.
Bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.